You may be seated. Continue to put your hands together as we receive our apostle, Sharon Cosby. Amen.
God, we praise you this morning. The ground has been broken. We have given of our tithes and our offerings. Yes. Not as a debt that we owe, but as seeds that we sow.
Yes.
Returning back what has been given to us.
Yes.
But right now, God, speak to us through be your servant. Empty me out. Pour your spirit in me. That the words that I speak will be nothing but Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And when it's all said and done, God, we're going to give you praise, the glory, and all of the adoration. This is the prayer of your servants. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Oh, I'm going to say it one more time. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I can't think of any place I'd much rather be. But in the presence of God's people. I said it home most of yesterday. It was just good, you know, when you're busy all through the week, it's good to be able to just sit at home and rest, relax, and just be in your house, amen? Some folks don't like being at home, but I like being at home, amen? And I'm grateful for you and your presence here today. I'm going to give you a scripture that comes from the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 21 through 25. If you're able, I ask that you stand and give the word of God honor and respect in which it is due. You know, we are lazy kind of folks. You know, we like, oh, Lord, I gotta stand. Yeah, that's probably most of us. We need some exercise. Get on up. Amen. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
Yes.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Yes, yes.
I say to myself, the Lord is my portion.
Yes, He is.
Therefore, I will wait upon Him. For the Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him.
Yes,
and in the one who seeks Him. Somebody ought to get happy just hearing that this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God some praise, for this is the word of God for the people of God. And somebody ought to say thanks be to God. Amen. You can be seated in this place. I thank God for each one of you, but I have to confess, it seems like each Sunday we come forward, it's almost like we as preachers, as pastors, as clergy, commit pastoral negligence if we don't acknowledge the things that have happened the week past. Today's world is so full of situations of lament, situations that I would say are lament worthy. I mean, if we turn on the nightly news, and I get up every morning and turn on CNN, sometimes I'm like, Lord, why did I do that? But if we look at the news, we always hear something horrible has happened, some terrible story of a mass shooting, of human trafficking, of war, of poverty, of natural disasters, of corruption, crime, pick a circumstance. And each one of these could lead us to feelings of despair. In the past week, I learned of the tragic death of one of Tulsa's leaders, Sherry Gamble Smith. Next Saturday, we as a church family will join with the family of our own Sandra Biddle as she lays to rest her sister, Yvonne. It seems that each week, there's always some more bad news. Kind of like the lady on the Wiz, you know, said, don't bring me no bad news. But just like the author of the book of Lamentations, we grieve. The author of Lamentations grieved over the fallen people and the destruction of a city. We grieve of situations that have come our way. Some years ago, I recall making a hospital visit, and I believe that I've told this story to you on times before, but I went to visit a dear friend of mine. Some of you who are members of Higher Dimensions know this couple, Sarah and John Powell. John had just had a heart attack at that time, was in the hospital, and Sarah was at his bedside. This visit took some years ago, placed some years ago, because since then, John has died, probably about 10 years after that the visit took place. But while I was visiting with both John and his wife, and because John was doing so much better at that time, Sarah and I decided that we were going to go to the sushi bar and eat some sushi. Now Sarah, you have to know, if you know Sarah, she likes sushi a whole lot. So really it was her going to the sushi bar to eat, and I was accompanying her because sushi raw fish just ain't really my thing. I will eat salmon if they stick it under the broiler for a few minutes, but you gotta have some heat to my food. Amen. But we sat down to eat together, mainly so we could just sit and have some girl talk. Every once in a while, you need to have some girl talk, you know what I mean? So we were catching up on things that had occurred, and she knew some struggles that I personally was going through. So she began to share a story with me, a story about a friend that she had in Chicago who was a bishop, who had gone through some things, and he made this phrase to her, or said this phrase to her, that he learned to not lament about what God allowed. Now, I preached a sermon on the same title some years ago, right after she and I had this visit, and I have to confess that after I preached this sermon, I know that it blessed some folk there, and it also blessed me. Don't lament what God allows. But see, I've learned that even though I may have preached this sermon once before, that people don't fully grab hold to the message the first time, and sometimes not even the second time. Psychologists say that an individual must hear something at least 7 times, because 7 represents the number of completion before they can fully ever really grasp the concept or commit it to memory. You see, I came to the hospital to minister to them, but I left our visit having been ministered to. You see, there are times when we want to give an encouraging word to somebody, but we find out in the midst of the conversation that we are the ones who leave encouraged. Now, it's my desire this morning to lift you up. We've had a great praise service this morning. Amen. Amen. And so this is not a message of lament. It is a message of praise. I want to encourage you and remind you that God has a plan, just like Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I came this morning to remind you that God has No matter who you are, how young you are, God has a plan. No matter how old you are, because some of us in here are seasoned, God has a plan. No matter what kind of mistakes you have made in life, I need somebody to be encouraged this morning to be reminded that God has a plan. No matter what victories you have experienced in life, God still has a plan. No matter what challenges you face, God has a what? And what the enemy meant for bad for your life, God will take that thing and turn it around for your good. Why? Because God has a plan. Now I want to get to the text, because if we look at the book of Lamentations, it expresses humiliation. It expresses suffering. It expresses despair for Jerusalem and her people following the destruction of the city by the Babylonians in 587 BC, before Christ. They say now, before the Common Era. But even in the midst of all that destruction and despair, God what had a
plan.
I believe that this particular book is composed by Jeremiah. That's what most biblical scholars say. Jeremiah was a prophet with a unique type of experience. According to Jewish midrash or stories in Psalms 90 and 2, Jeremiah is considered one of the four prophets, along with Habakkuk, David, and Moses, distinguished by their love for Israel. One of the major themes of Lamentation combines this idea of a funeral, if you will, for a lost city, and the communal lament and a plea for restoration of its people. Now, because of Jeremiah's love for Israel, biblical scholars suggest that he was justified in lashing out at God in lament. In reading the prophetic book, it appears that Jeremiah in many ways goes through what we call in counseling the five stages of grief. He goes through denial. You don't want to believe what has happened. As what has happened seems hard to believe, and so you deny it. Then there's the next stage called anger. You recognize now that it has happened, and now you're mad because it has happened. You're mad at God, you're mad at people, amen. And some people express their angers while others hold it in, especially us spiritual folk, because we don't want people to think that we are unspiritual and get mad at God, so we hold it in, and what you hold in eventually begins to eat you from within. But the next stage is bargaining. In other words, we're gonna bargain with God about what has happened. We try to rationalize and make sense out of all, and in some ways, it's like, let's make a deal with God. You see the show, Let's Make a Deal. The next stage is depression. In other words, we now recognize what has happened, and we didn't get mad at God, and we've gone through this idea of bargaining with God, and now we just say we're depressed. And some people get stuck in depression. They never move out of depression. Tell somebody, don't get stuck.
Don't get stuck.
Don't get stuck. I don't care what you're going through. Don't get stuck. Because the next stage is acceptance. Mm. We've gotten, we didn't want to believe it. We got mad and we bargained with God and we got sad and depressed, but now we're moved into that final stage of accepting what has happened. But as people of faith, when we go through these five stages of grief and finally get through acceptance, we recognize that what the enemy meant for bad is now going to build my spiritual muscles and turn, and it's being turned around for my good. I'm going somewhere. See, there are times in life when stuff just happens. Oh, let me say it again. Stuff happens.
Oh, y'all looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know every last one of us in here going through some stuff. Tell somebody, stuff happens. If you haven't gone through some stuff, keep living. It's coming. Amen. It's coming. Stuff happens. Our lives have a way of shifting from one space to another space, from one level to another level. Sometimes we shift up and sometimes we shift back. I remember they used to say sometimes you take two steps forward only to take one step back, but praise God, you're still one step ahead. Amen? That life has a way of shifting, and we lament. And lament is a tool that allows us as people of God to navigate through pain and suffering. It's a tool that God gives us. We mourn, we grieve, we weep, we wail, we moan, we complain. And somebody say, well, complaining ain't that spiritual, you know, because you see throughout the Bible, they complain before God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they complain. They complain, but then when in their complaint, God answers them. So when we complain, because while none of us are perfect, we all have done our best. We do all we know to do. How we know to do it, and still in the midst of that, stuff happens. Amen. We didn't want it. We didn't ask for it. Mm-hmm. We feel like we didn't deserve it, but nevertheless, stuff happens. Yeah. Publicly, we go on with our lives as if nothing has occurred. We keep living, we keep doing, we keep helping, and we keep caring and we keep sharing, but we're still not yet healed. I remember my encounter that I left there. I came there a wounded healer, helping everybody else, but inside still hurting.
Yes.
Like having a sore that's trying to heal, but every time there's a scab that begins to form on that sore. Somebody comes along and hits that scab and you begin to bleed all over again. And often you bleed on the people who are closest to you. Mm-hmm. Oh, let me say that again. Y'all looking at me like, oh, Lord have mercy. Well, it's the truth. Amen. God gave this message to me because God has a lot of people who still love God, believe in God, but still have suffered some stuff. And you are walking around as a wounded healer. You're helping everybody else, but you're not getting your own healing. You're speaking good words to everybody else, trying to encourage everybody else, but you still have not received your own healing. So as soon as somebody rubs you the wrong way, you lash out and bleed all over them. Or you're speaking the words of praise to God at one moment and cussing God the next. Come on. You're saying, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me one moment. And the next moment, you don't want to have nothing to do with the people of God. You're singing praise and dancing like David danced when he danced out of his own clothes and get home behind closed doors and can't even lift up your hands. Because when that scab is hurt, when it's rubbed, it hurts. But beyond hurting, it bleeds. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but see, I was a tomboy growing up. I know that's probably hard for y'all to believe. But I was a bona fide tomboy. Because see, growing up, I had long hair, and the girls in my neighborhood said they didn't want to play with me because I had long hair. So I began to play with the boys, but see, the boys put me through an endurance test first to make sure that I was able to hang with them. So my house was in the middle of a hill. We lived in a horseshoe, and in the middle of the horseshoe was a hill, and my house was in the middle. So Bruce next door, and Bruce, I know you're probably watching online, amen, so I'm going to remind you what you did to me, Bruce. Amen. He lived next door to me, and so Bruce said, if you want to play with us, you're going to have to get in this tree and do so many pull-ups on the tree. John, who lived up the hill, come on. John said, well, go up the hill on your bike and come down the hill and pop a wheelie, and if you can pop a wheelie all the way down the hill, we're going to let you play with Bill McCain. I know you're watching, amen. I remember. How you caught the bird, and then y'all set the bird on fire, and I jumped out of, yes, I did some endurance. I was a bona fide tomboy. But even in my toughness, I found that there are areas where I'm weak. Many times we deal with stuff, we're challenged with stuff, we experience situations in our life. Because see, while I was able to do the push-ups and pop the wheelie when they got that bird, I couldn't take it. That was my weakness. Situations in our lives occur. We didn't want them, we didn't ask for them, we didn't desire for them, but they happen. Stuff happens, shift happens. Our lives take unwanted, unwarranted shifts that forever alter our lives. But I recognize all the stuff that I've gone through, all the stuff that I've been through has built me and made me strong enough. Has built me and has helped me understand that as I went through that and I went through this, I'm going to make it through next. Whatever you've gone through, if you've gone through it, it didn't kill you, it didn't destroy you. Just as the prophet writes, he said, I am not consumed. It did not consume you. You made it through it. It might have been difficult. It might have been challenging. It might not have felt good, but you made it. And you're going to make it through the next. Jeremiah proclaims as he laments before God, he proclaims God's deliverance and God's healing for the people of Israel. Today I proclaim to you by faith your deliverance and your healing, because in the midst of us today are people who need some healing. In the midst of us are people who need deliverance from the past. In the midst of us, somebody said something to you that has forever altered and changed your life. And God wants to heal you from those words. They say that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. They lie. That was a children's nursery rhyme. They lie. Because words do hurt. They alter people's lives. They mess with your psyche. They get into your spirit. And they cause people to feel less than, unvalued, unworthy. But God says, I have a plan for your life. That which the enemy meant for bad, those words that try to destroy you, I'm going to take those same words and build you up. That situation that occurred to you, you didn't ask for it, you didn't deserve it, you were innocent, but God said, I'm going to take that and make you a mighty warrior for God. That thing, that marriage that you thought was going to last forever, but it broke your heart, God is going to take that thing and make you better and not bitter. That thing or that situation, that death that occurred in your family is going to help you understand that life is so precious. So live it now and live it for God while you yet have breath in your mouth. Whatever situation you've gone through, whatever trial you've entered into, God has a plan and is going to use it for your good. So don't lament the process, but rejoice in it. And again, I say rejoice. Tell somebody, I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to rejoice in it. Because as I look at what the prophet wrote, while the prophet recognizes that he was not consumed, see, we understand that even though Israel was destroyed by the Babylonians, Israel was not consumed. Why? Because God had a plan for Israel. God had a place, a wealthy place for Israel. And then when we move from hope, from lament, we move into hope. See, lament has a way of moving us out of mourning, out of despair, out of grief. into hope. Tell somebody I'm getting ready to move into hope. I'm moving into hope because that is why life has a shift. So we're going to shift from grief and despair to hope. Because a critical element of lamenting is the process is hope. See, what is this hope that this author has that we can have? We have this hope that we find in Jesus, the object and source of our hope. And when we lament, we are expressing God's plea for something better. We're looking for something better. Lament places a demand on hope. Tell somebody, lament places demand on hope. Hope is defined, if you will, as a feeling or an expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. And while I pleaded with God, now I'm hoping for the best. I have an expectation for the best. I desire for the best. I desire for a certain thing or something to happen in my life. Hope has a way of increasing the sense of meaning in life. It is identification or realization of goals. Hope has a way of putting some goals out there that you never dreamed that you could have. Hope has a way of giving you dreams that you never thought would ever come to fruition. Hope has a way of making dreams in the midst of adversity. Individuals with high hopes can set some lofty goals. Individuals with high hopes not only set lofty goals, but they also have a way of making them come into fruition. In other words, they began to realize it. Because hope is a better predictor of a success than intelligence or ability. You can be super intelligent, but you don't have any hope. You miss success. You can have all the great ability, but if you don't have any hope, you won't have success. But what we find is that when a person has a hope, it makes up for the lack of ability. When a person has a hope, it makes up for the lack of intelligence. When a person has hope, it moves them beyond their own capabilities and takes them into that which they cannot do. It takes them to what they can do. Because when you have hope, you don't rely on your own abilities, but you rely on the abilities that God gives you. When you have hope, you don't rely on your own intellect, but you lean and depend upon God, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever dream or ask. So when my hope is in God, I can do more than I can ever dream or ask. Hope is my way to success. Amen. Hope is my way to getting my bank account right. Hope is my way of getting my health right. Hope is my way of getting my family right. Hope is my way of getting marriages right or getting your children on track, because it's a dream for something better than what you're experiencing right now. Hope, come on, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. So if you got some hope, amen, and I tap that into my faith, come on, I'm gonna move beyond and say, if I can move what a mountain, I can move what a mountain. I can move what a mountain. So I might have been in despair last week, but I'm moving into hope. I might have been disappointed last month, but I'm moving into hope. I might have been upset in times past, but what I'm moving into, tell somebody, I'm placing a demand on hope. Why? Because God has a plan and a purpose, and so therefore I'm gonna move into the plan that God has for my individual and my collective life. So whatever the plan is, God, I'm not going to lament the process. I might have to go through some stuff. I might have to suffer some disappointments. I might have to deal with some setbacks. But my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope is in what God has already said for my life. My hope is that dream that I had way back 20, 30 years ago. But it may be delayed, but it's not denied. Keep on hoping. Keep on dreaming. Keep on believing. Why? Because hope is a thing that faith is made of. Oh, let me say that again.
Hope is a thing that faith is made of. Hope has a way of taking you places that you've never been before. Hope has a way of propelling you to your very next. Hope has a way of changing your whole psyche, your whole mind. Hope has a way of taking that thing that you used to lament about, the thing that you used to be sad about, the thing that you used to be depressed about, and look at it from a whole nother perspective. Yes. Hope has a way of taking that glass that was half empty and you now all of a sudden see it half full. Hope has a way of saying that last disappointment gets me that much closer to success. When I was in the financial business, one of the things that they trained us, you have to make at least 10 phone calls to get 3 people to say that they'll see you. And then after 3 people say that they see you, only one is going to actually do business with you. But sometimes you get 20 before you can get to 6. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes you get those 20 calls, and those first 14 were all no's. It's those last 6 that end up being yeses. Come see me.
That's right.
And out of those 6, sometimes you only get that one person that'll do business with you. You get that one yes. And I'm gonna tell y'all that when God called me into ministry, I'm getting ready to close now. I remember every door that was closed to me. I thought I was living high on a hog, amen. Come on, I had 2 cars, praise God, a new house that I built from the ground up, had my kids in private school, praise God, everything was going great. Then God called me in the ministry and I said no, and God said, okay, fine, since you say you can't go because you got these houses and these cars and stuff you got to pay for, I'm going to take it all away from you now, but we're going to see what's going to stop me from going into the ministry now. And I remember going to God, God, you didn't have to do it like this, but I remember the moment I said yes to God. Oh, let me say it again, the moment I said yes to God. Oh, somebody said, the moment I said yes to God. I've been working on a case for I don't know how many months. I mean, it seemed like that case was going to never drop. And I don't care, even after you get them to sign on the dotted line, it still has to go through underwriting. The underwriter can mess your case up, amen. It was stuck in underwriting, but somebody said again, the moment I said yes to God. That case dropped, hallelujah. I mean, the well had been dry for over 6 months. In between that time, I ended up selling my house, come on, getting cars repossessed, moving into a small apartment. But the moment I said yes to God, that case dropped, come on. And when that case dropped, come on, and I began to do what God said and told me to do, come on. I had enough money, because after that case dropped, another case dropped. After that case dropped, another case dropped. I had 3 cases that dropped that allowed me to pay all my bills. Buy a new van, amen, that we use for ministry, paid all my bills, caught up, come on somebody, and lived off that money for 3 years. That's just how much money I made trying to those 3 cases. Oh, come on, tell somebody, the moment that you say yes to God, everything that you hope for, all things that you dream of, come on, God has a way of opening the doors and pouring out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive. But God is looking for somebody to say yes. I know you've been lamenting, you've been crying in the midnight hour, you've been sad, come on, you've been depressed and pulling the covers up over your head and acting like the rest of the world don't exist. Come on, I know I'm talking to somebody this morning, but today I want to tell you that God is a way of turning that thing around. Come on, all you got to do is say yes, Lord. Yes to your will, God. Yes to your way. I'm going to allow you to turn that thing around. Come on. And now I'm looking, I thought I was going to be in that business for the rest of my life. Come on. Trying to work my way to the $1 million round table. But now I don't care. Wait a minute, let me say that back. I want to speak some life. Money is not that important to me. What I was going to say, I don't care about money, but now I got to eat like everybody else. Come on. But it's not my primary goal. My goal is to please God. My goal is to do the will of God. And if I do the will of God, God will take care of my stuff as I take care of God's stuff. Come on, are you with me today? Now you might have to go through some hard times, and sometimes I think God tested me just to see, because you know I kept my license for a long time before I finally gave it up. I'm going to just tell you the truth. Y'all know I'm transparent. I kept my license a long time. First, I had my Series 7 license. I could trade on the stock market, you know. Good money in that job. Then, I got my Series 6 and 63. I kept those licenses for a long time. I kept my health and life insurance license for a long time. Because I always said, well, ministry got tough. I could always go back to the business. But I remember God woke me up one day and said, let them go. You're not going back. Let them go. You're not going back. Let them go. You're not going back.
That's it.
It's a message for this, for somebody. Some stuff you got to let go, because God's not going to let you go back.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, some people too. You're right. Some people you got to let go, because God's not going to let you go back. Some stuff you got to let go, because God's not going to let you go back. God says, I have a plan for your life.
Yes.
Always. And the future. You got to let the past stay in the past.
Yep.
Let it go so you can go to your present future. Come on, we're getting ready to come. Hallelujah. All over this building. You know you've been holding on to something that you know you weren't supposed to hold on to. Go ahead and just let it go right now. Past hurts, disappointments, even some friends. Let them go. Teddy Pendergrass, y'all know I know y'all like it. I like to sing with y'all. See, they're long passage today. Don't do it. Don't do it. What it, Teddy Pendergrass? You gotta let it go. Like a love, take a TKO. Knock it out. Knock it out your life, man. Knock it out. Knock it out. Y'all act like y'all ain't never gonna second music. All y'all know. Some of y'all still got that stuff in your house. Shut up. Come on.
I know I
can. You didn't let that go either, amen. I still got one Isaac Brothers cassette tape. It's just there for memories, amen. I let all the other ones go. I can't even, I don't even have a cassette player. I just got the cassette tape, amen. I tell you, I'm transparent, I tell you. Praise God. But you got some stuff you need to let go. If that's you, just lift up your hands. Today we're going to let that stuff go so that you can walk into your blessed future. Right now, eternal God in heaven, we come before your presence right now. We thank you for these, your people, whether online, hallelujah, or in person. Those who have their hands raised, wherever you are, we come before your presence right now. And we thank you for the hope that you have given us. We thank you right now that we're letting go of the past hurts and disappointments. We're letting them go in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare and decree right now that we're going to walk lighter, we're going to be lighter, we're going to walk in the hope that you have given us. We're going to walk in the confidence that you've given us through Jesus the Christ. We're going to walk in that perfect gift of hope that you've given us through Jesus the Christ. And no weapon formed against us will ever prosper in our life. We declare, we believe it, we thank God for it. And God, you've given us dreams. You've given us visions. You've given us hopes for a brighter future. And we declare and decree right now, oh God, that the dreams that you have given us, they will not just be a dream, but they will come into fruition. Those hopes, things, those things that we've been desiring, God, those things that we desire that are of you, God, because we don't want nothing that is not of you. Those things that we desire that of you, we thank you right now, God, and we call them forward right now. And we declare and decree that the enemy will get his hands off of it in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you right now, oh God, that right now finances are being released in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, oh God, that healing is being released all over this building, God. We thank you right now that deliverance is being released all over this building. Wayward thinking, wrong thinking is being released in the mighty name of Jesus. We bind it up, oh God, and we release it off our lives. lives right now. And we declare and decree right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that who the Son sets free is free indeed. So we're free from wrong thinking. We're free from the bondages that have held us back. We're free from wrong friends, God, ill-gotten friends. We are free. We declare our freedom right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we walk right now, not only lighter, but we walk with a new pep in our step, God. We walk with a new confidence in our life, God. We walk with a new vision, a new hope, a new dream in our lives right now. Oh, God, we declare, we decree, and we speak it to be so, God. We declare and decree that families are coming back together, God. We declare and decree that children that have been lost out of the world are coming back home, God. We pray that those spirits that are not like God and that have been attached to them right now are being released in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare right now words that have been attached to our lives, God. We thank you right now that they are loosed from our lives, released from our psyche, God. We declare that we throw them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Come on and lift up your hands and declare your freedom right now. Declare it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We declare it and speak it to be so. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I speak God's divine health over your life, God. I just speak God's divine wealth. Hallelujah, you're free by the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, I declare it right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, you know you're free. Hallelujah, you know you're free. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you are God who's able to clean us up, lift us up, oh God. For you are the lifter up of our heads, God. I thank you right now, for God, you said who the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare right now that even as this prayer goes forth, come on somebody, hallelujah, that you are already being healed. God has already told you that you've already taken that first step. God's going to help you make that next step. And then when your friends see you, they're going to see a whole new person, a whole new, a regenerated